from, and it's John chapter 11, verses 1 to 44. The death of Lazarus. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by the world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews had been with Mary in the house comforting her, notice how quickly she got up and went out. They followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
Thank you, Jean. We just have a short prayer, please. Our Father, we pray that you will open our ears and our hearts, that what you have to say to us will be ingrained on it and that we may be blessed by it. Speak to us now through your Holy Spirit, for your name. Amen. Thank you, Jean. I promise you there is no conspiracy here that the readers have got to read long verses. Jean's just read 44. Karen just read four chapters, the whole of Ruth. But I promise you that's not going to be a trend that will take place. A couple of weeks ago, Heather, without realising, broached one of the verses that I wanted to mention in starting. And there are two verses which are in the penultimate and the last chapter of John. And they are this. Verse 21 in John chapter 20. Again, Jesus said... Oh, sorry, I got the wrong one there. Beg your pardon. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And then he concludes his book, the last verse, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Now, I know Heather didn't realise that I was going to actually use that. I had that prepared, but they're amazing, amazing passages. And every time I read them, they intrigue me and tantalise me, because we will never know everything that Jesus did until we get to heaven. But enough has been written about this Jesus in the Old Testament, everything pointing to him, and in the four Gospels to absolutely enthrall us. Right. The passage that Jean read, to put it in context, Jesus had just left the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem. And the Jews gathered round him, and there was a tense and hostile situation that he faced. There was fury and anger, and they asked him quite plainly. There was no flowery language at all. They just asked him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." That gets straight to the point. I think Jesus answered back and says, "I tell you, you do not believe. I did tell you, you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe." And then he uses the good shepherd and the sheep. "Because you are not my sheep, you do not follow my voice." Can you imagine the fury of these leaders of the law, the teachers, who so raised themselves above ordinary people? They went and did all their praying and their good works in the marketplace so people could think, "Whoa, we will never attain that righteousness." And here is Jesus telling them plainly that, "You are not my sheep." How do you think they felt? Well, I can tell you how they felt, because they picked up stones to stone Jesus. And Jesus asked them, "For which of these miracles are you stoning me for? What? These good works that I've done, what are you actually stoning me for?" And you know what? They dismiss those miracles and say, "We're not stoning you for the miracles. We're stoning you for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." Their authority is being questioned. Their hypocrisy is apparent. And they dismiss the miracles just as if they don't matter. Jesus, through his Father's great will and purpose, escaped. And he left the area, came over. and he continued to preach and do good works. And now we come to the death of Lazarus of Bethany. As Jean read, a man called Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany. Now, this was a family that Jesus loved. When he went to their house, the sisters Mary and Martha would make him so comfortable, and he felt at ease there. And obviously, can you imagine the anxiety that was given to him? Please, the one you love is sick. This is serious. Please come at once. Now, we know that if we had that sort of demand put on us, we would drop everything straight away. We're only human. We go. Jesus answers them. In deed, perhaps not in word, he shows his authority. He shows his authority. He's not rushing like we would. He is just taking his time. And you can imagine that the disciples are saying, come on, we need to go. We need to go. Not to him, but Rabbi, please. We need to go back. And Jesus said, no, the reason that I'm not going back is this sickness is going to end in God's glory. And God is going to be glorified through it. And although Jesus loved Martha and Mary, and he heard that Lazarus, who he loved, their dear brother, he stayed where he was for two more days. Then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. But they said, Rabbi, they tried to stone you recently. I've just introduced that in my introduction, the Feast of the Dedication. They tried to stone you. They were hostile. And now you are talking about going back. And Jesus says about the 12 hours of daylight when things can be achieved. No man walks in the light. And after he said that, there was assurance. This sickness will not end in death. But he said, he is sleeping. And now they are bewildered. They are absolutely bewildered. They cannot understand why he's saying this. If he is asleep, then surely you can wake him. He'll wake up. Don't understand why. They're bewildered. They can't understand the reason why. And Jesus then tells them plainly, he's died, but he will get better because he will rise and God, my Father's name, will be glorified. So let us go back. And who pipes up? Dear old Thomas. Dear old Thomas, doubting Thomas. I seem to think that he was, there's optimism and pessimism. And Thomas, being the pessimistic one, says, oh, let's go back with Jesus and die with him as well. He could see that because this was on the disciples' lips when they left Jerusalem. The thing they must be talking about, did you see how they were close to killing him? How they were close to stoning him? And now he wants us to go back? Oh, come on then, let's go back. Very negative, pessimistic attitude. But Jesus knew that this was going to be beneficial to them. It was for their belief that this act of raising Lazarus from the dead would be for their benefit, for their beneficial good. I tried to think of something. We are very, very lucky that we in the Bible have the beginning and the end. We know the story. We know it's like a film. You've watched it. You know that good is going to come out of it. And how could I illustrate that? And I thought, well, when I was 11 years old, we had that famous day in 1966 when England won. And I say won because I know now they won the World Cup. But I was at my uncle's house in Winchester. And as an 11-year-old boy, seeing England leading 2-1 with just a little bit of time to go, and then Germany equalising, my heart sunk. And we're now in real time. Okay, none of us know the result, he says. So I thought, well, Germany were in the ascendancy. We're going to lose this. And of course, history was made. England scored another 2 goals. And every time now, and I've probably seen the film countless times, every time there's a World Cup or England's greatest moments, they show you the film. And I don't have that same fear now because I know that what I was going through in 1966, it's not going to happen because there's going to be a good ending. And we know, we are very, very lucky to know how this ended. But the disciples, the people there, were in real time. So Jesus has told them that Lazarus sleeps. And they are being negative and pessimistic, as we would be ourselves. They did not realize that he was going to rise and there was going to be a great miracle there. Jesus heads back to Bethany. And when he got back there, he's heading back. Obviously, news has been relayed to him that Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, he's less than 2 miles, and there must have been a big crowd of people around, people passing messages, shouting, he's on his way, he's on his way, the master is on his way. And it gets relayed. This has got back to Martha, one of the sisters. When she heard that Jesus was coming, she ran to meet him, and she cries with confusion. She is absolutely confused. And she said, Lord, if you had come, my brother wouldn't have died. But even then, there's a glimmer of hope. There's a glimmer of belief. I know now, even now, that God will give you whatever you ask. So there is belief. And Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. There's calmness there already. She said, I know he's going to rise in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And she said, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. And she tells him plainly, this is her belief. After that, she went back to Mary, to her sister, and said, the teacher is here. Jesus hadn't moved there. He was still in the same place. Mary got up quickly and rushed out. And Jesus not entered the village yet, but Mary met him there. And she fell down and she reached the place, fell at his feet, and Lord, and says the similar things. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus again said, come, show me where they have laid him. And now this is where Jesus shows his humanity. He's overwhelmed. He loves Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He's human. He's like us. And he's deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have they laid him? And they take him to see him. Shortest verse in the Bible. 2 words. Jesus wept. The Jews were looking and said, see how much he loved him. It was evident. And some of them said, well, hang on a minute. If he opened the eyes, if he healed the sick, surely he could have done that as well. Surely he could have. We use our imagination now. Jesus was deeply moved. And he came to the cave where the stone was. And he said, take the stone away. Can you imagine the tension? Jesus wiped away his own tears, he composed himself and he looked up and said, bring him out. This is a strange request because Martha said, Jesus, Lord, he's been in the tomb for 4 days. There's obviously going to be the smell of death there. It's not going to be very pleasant. Did I not tell you that you will, if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took the stone away. And Jesus, in a loud voice, he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. And I said this for the benefit of the people standing here. His calmness amongst this scene. Imagine the tension. And then he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, he said, come out. Can you imagine? The stone is rolled away. Slowly, this figure emerges. People's eyes widen with wonder, with tension. Their jaws drop. And every person's looking at his neighbor. What is going on? And then there are tears of joy. The two sisters and Lazarus are reunited. We know that's going to be a wonderful day in that house for the rest of the day. There's so much rejoicing. There's going to be so much happiness. Large crowd had gathered there, and it was for their benefit that this was done. Sadly, the Jews heard about this in another chapter, and they were planning to take their revenge. But in closing, let me take you back to those first two verses that I started with. Most of the things that Jesus did have not been written in the books. Imagine now that we're in heaven, we've got the whole of eternity to find out about people that we only have read about in the past. Imagine talking to Lazarus. How did you feel on that day? Imagine talking to Mary and Martha. Was that a wonderful day? Take yourself back to your own heroes. Moses, David, Solomon, Isaiah, Paul, the disciples. Take it back to yourselves. We will find that there is a rich tapestry that God has knitted together. And it will be all the deeds and everything has gelled together to make a beautiful tapestry. Might be something you're going to be in there. Maybe something that you said to someone. A word in season when someone was upset, someone was finding things difficult. Maybe something you didn't even think about. You just said it, maybe over a cup of coffee. And that has had an impact on their lives. You don't know. You probably don't even remember what you said. And yet God has used that. And one day you will be reminded in heaven that everything we did, everything was there to glorify his name. Amen.